Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Fedor obviously bowled in high school. I bowled all throughout high school into college. I don't know.
I didn't
idea.
Just bowl, thank you very much. I lettered. I lettered at prestigious high school.
Very proud of you. Very proud of you. John, how are we doing today?
Very prestigious high school. And you lettered. Did you ever bowl a 300 in a competition? What was the closest you ever came?
258.
What was your best moment?
258. Wow. But my best moment,
I've had
honestly,
a lot of 300s,
and,
but no
and
big
I'm
deal.
Not saying this, John, just because of where you went, but my best moment was the series that I had against St. Ignatius that earned me the nickname The Hammer, and then during the awards banquet, this is a true story.
It was only a series, huh?
I still have this. During the awards banquet, I was given a hammer with an engraved score of what I had in that particular match against St. Ignatius.
Does anyone still call you the hammer?
No, they don't.
But John.
That nickname was kind of taken on the previous radio station where I was working, so, you know.
That's right.
I didn't want anybody to confuse me with said person.
Yeah, I won't do that. Exactly. I know exactly where you're going, and I'll stay away from that. But it does give the promo guy at the Fan a chance, Jonathan Peterlin, next time Fedor's in, for him to say, Hammer, Chris Fedor.
Thursday. We'll get that all made up
for
you.
Should I bring it?
Did you have the Hammer bowling ball, too? Because, I mean, Hammer's obviously a bowling ball company.
Of course I did. Yeah, with my naming grade.
Is that how you got the nickname on part of it?
No. Because I hammered St. Ignatius.
Naturally. Okay.
Yes. So they called me the Hammer.
Sure.
That trophy has to get tweeted. Has to.
I mean, it's in my closet. It should be prominently displayed somewhere in my house. Maybe over the mantle. I'll have to see what Holly thinks of that.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
John,
good to be with you guys.
You ask Randy Peterson what he thinks about Chris Fedor's bowling accomplishments in high school, and get back to us, okay?
I'm on it. I'll do that with Randy. No question.
I was the anchor of my team.
Yeah, I'll ask him in between Miller Lite.
I know you were. Yeah, Randy. I'm not even going to give you my qualifiers. I'm not going to do it. I so badly want to. But at this point, it would just seem like being braggadocious, and being braggadocious about bowling is not the thing that I need to be doing right now. All right, John, let's get into it. So you called into Ken and Anthony yesterday. You wanted to discuss Darius Garland. Fedor's here. What do you have to say to Fedor about your Garland take? And then give it for Fedor so we can know what it was.
Well, for the record here, not to cause some WWE drama between the shows, but I only called Ken and Anthony, because I have this 4 o'clock Tuesday slot, and apparently the one of the morning hosts, you can guess who, he tends to send weird Twitter videos with seagulls from parking lots from time to time. He decided to start tweeting at me during last Tuesday's show, in which I said that I advocated again for trading Darius Garland. Now, I want to make things very clear. Darius Garland is an all-star and a good player. I'm always in the factory of guys. You don't trade. You don't get something for nothing.
Right.
I would argue his value will never be what it is now. It's not about. It's not a rip fest on Darius Garland. Like, let's get that out of the way right now. It's a, how do the Cleveland Cavaliers get better? How do they contend for a championship? As currently constructed, I don't believe that they're in a place to do that, and I don't believe just another year of running it back is going to do it either. I think you have to mix doing that with getting reinforcements. Ask the Thunder about getting Alex Caruso and Isaiah Hartenstein. Even the Knicks were closer this year because they were bold. They were outside the box. This isn't even that bold to me. It's not blowing up the core four. It's removing a member of the core four to better the other three members, in my opinion, or the two main members, that being Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley, and I would trade Darius Garland.
Yeah, Chris seems to feel the same way. I'm not too far off of that either. It's just whether or not you can get that piece, right? That right piece. And listen, you might have to end up looking like you lost the trade in the meanwhile, but if it fits better, and John, I think that's something that a lot of people are missing in this conversation, is that you got to get the right fit for the Cavs in trying to get the puzzle pieces to all match up, because these puzzle pieces don't connect.
No, they don't connect. And I understand that too. You know, these different deals that are being proposed now, as Chris knows well, Theodore, you've probably gotten, I don't know, I mean, by this point, 50, 60, 70 different Twitter replies and different posts and comments on the trade machine and what somebody threw into a website and said, this could work for us. That's part of the fun of it. That's part of the fun of what we do. I know the Jalen Suggs angle is discussed. I don't actually feel strongly one way or the other on it. I'm not sitting here on this show saying, trade Darius Garland, I'm done with him. You don't trade for the sake of trading him. You trade because, one, I think he's the most tradable asset for you, and two, it's not working. Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland are two very talented players. Mitchell more talented than Garland and in a different stratosphere. Mitchell needs a number two on the perimeter. To me, it doesn't fit with Darius Garland. It feels like square peg, round hole. You're hopeful that it's going to deliver. And to me, when Kobe Altman said, we got to get Darius Garland to another level, you know, we want to get him to this Steph Curry level, I actually think that Kobe was playing his cards of, let me brand this guy up and make it, you know, make it sound one way, but in reality, I'm making it sound that way to create value for him. We think the world of Darius Garland, so much so that we'd be willing to give him to you for the right price.
Here's the other thing, too, guys. Cores change in the NBA all the time. Marcus Smart was a core player of the Boston Celtics until he wasn't, right?
Yeah.
Harrison Barnes was a core player of the dynastic Golden State Warriors, the record-setting Golden State Warriors, a guy that they tanked for. He was a core player of the Warriors until he wasn't. Luka Doncic was untouchable until he wasn't. So to think that Darius, if you're doing a hierarchy of core members of the Cavs, Darius is not at the top. He's not second either. So to think that that is untouchable, you got to be fooling yourself, or you're not just paying attention to NBA basketball. Russell Westbrook was a core member of the Oklahoma City Thunder till he wasn't. These things change all the time based on what could potentially be available to you and what the option is that could make you a better basketball team. Emphasis on could.
And you want to know what the worst part is? When you realize that and it's too late.
Mm.
The worst part of this maneuver, ask the Brooklyn Nets how that has worked out for them over the years when they have attempted to do this. And, I mean, one of the times that they tried to do it, it was already too late, but they tried it anyways. But if you wait too long, you're going to be back in a phase where you might get value. You might. But you're not going to be in the title window. The window is open right now. Dan Gilbert has never been shy unless Chris is around the organization every single day. But my viewpoint is Dan Gilbert has never been shy about winning and about what it means to win. Sure. Not a playoff series, not two playoff series, about contending for it all. And if I'm that organization right now, I'm sitting there saying, we are a championship caliber run organization. How do we get to that point? Because if I'm Kobe Altman, I'm saying, if I wait too long and I just try to keep running it back in a league where it's difficult to run it back, especially when I've seen a sample size that says I tried to run it back and it didn't work, injuries or not, do I want that to be the definition of this organization eventually? And then, by default, my employment.
All right, John, before we get to the football, and we're going to let a baseball sprinkled in as well, what's your take on the NBA Finals as it's matched up now at one game apiece after game two?
Well, I think the Thunder are going to win this series in six games. I think Indiana will get one of the next two games. I really believe it. I think it'll be split heading back to Oklahoma City for game five, and I do think that the Thunder are going to be too much for Indiana. And I say that because, you know, in game one, like I'm done with like, well, they had the game one, because it's not how the NBA playoffs work. It's not how the NBA works, and don't we know it well? Nobody's got a game one until the clock hits zero. It's more about, for me, like the Thunder shot the ball so poorly in game one, and they didn't capitalize off turnovers. They didn't do a good enough job on the offensive end of the floor, and they fell into hero ball in the fourth quarter. I thought they recalibrated pretty well. I thought, you know, Aaron Wiggins, that's not going to happen every single game. But it does show, and it illustrates how potent Oklahoma City is, that they could have somebody like that or a Caruso come in and deliver that type of three-point shooting for them. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what Mark Daigneault and what Rick Carlisle do from a chess perspective in the front court. Who goes big, who goes small, who tries some different things there, because I thought Oklahoma City, they tried some different things in game two with their lineups, and it seemed to work. It seemed to give Indiana's defense problems. To me, you got to find a way to score efficiently on Indiana's defense. Everyone talks about how the Pacers can light it up from three, and everybody talks about how the Thunder defend. The Pacers are at their best when they're getting stops. And I thought in game two, they really had a hard time doing that, and they dared OKC to shoot, and OKC made them pay. I do think I respect the Pacers. I just think that the Thunder are the best team in this league, and I think they'll win this series in six games. They have the most valuable player in the league, and they also have a defense that has held Tyrese Halliburton to his lowest scoring average against any opponent in the NBA in the last 2 years.
John, before we wrap up here, and I want to get your thoughts on the Cavs, that there was obviously the information that came out about Darius and how significant the toe injury was. When you're talking about evaluating their playoff performance against Indiana, how much do you personally factor in the injuries that they were dealing with in that series against the Pacers?
Chris, I think it's a million-dollar question, and to be honest with you, I don't. Because I not to the degree that maybe other people will do, and maybe there's somebody on I-90 right now who's saying this guy's an idiot, and how could you say that? But I my gut, part of my intuition, you know, says Indiana was winning that series. It might have taken six or seven games, but they were the better, more cohesive team. And were the Cavs at full strength? No, they were not. But the Pacers were the best team in the Eastern Conference, and it has ended up showing. And they made the conference finals last year, and, oh, that was a step further than the Cavs in that instance, too. So my take is, if I'm evaluating it from that standpoint, I'm not sitting here and saying that's a reason for me to now say, yeah, you know, they get an asterisk, or this doesn't count as much. Guys, you guys and I both all know that's not how sports works. Like, it's not a get out of jail free card. No, it's, look, this is tough, but it's the reality of the situation. And yeah, they were banged up, but do you think right now, ask yourself, was that team going to win the series at full strength? Were they? I don't think so. I don't.
John Fanta joining us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The Nick Chubb era is over. Are you happy that he's going to get a chance to play for what is at least at this point perceived to be a competitor in the Texans?
Well, I'm happy for Nick. I am. I'm happy for Nick. I think he's going to be part of more wins this upcoming season. I probably know that. I'm happy about it for his sake, but you know, it's tough, guys. I'll give you guys a story that I think everybody can relate to. You know, my wife doesn't know much about football. She's not like a junkie. And she came out today to the living room in our house and said, "Wait a minute, Nick Chubb's at Texans camp? What the heck happened?"
Yeah.
I said, he's out. She goes, "He's one of the greatest Browns. I mean, you know, top three Brown in your lifetime, right? He's one of the very best Browns since they came back." I go, "Yeah," I said, "but you know, the running back position, all this." She's like, $2.5 million. You know, it's just I'm happy for Nick, but it does underscore the fact that I get that this is a business, but it is tough in a world where you're spending millions in other areas. That he couldn't continue to be a Cleveland Brown. More than anything, I think of, you know, the Minka Fitzpatrick thing and a really bad night that you know, I'll never forget in Pittsburgh, a rough, rough Monday night that changed.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. Show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer. Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Change the course of his career. He'll be in the Browns Ring of Honor. He'll go down as an all-time, you know, still great Brown. I know it's a business, but to me, the Browns have made a lot worse business decisions than they would have been still spending some money on Nick Chubb. It's not to say that their running back room still can't be good. It's not to say that it might not be better off without Nick at this stage of his career. But I got to tell you guys, I'm not betting against that guy. And I think he still has good football in his future. And for his sake, I'm happy that he's doing it with a good team.
Guardians, before we get out of here, John, about 500 in their last 10 games, about 500 for the season. The other night, Stephen Vogt said we didn't play Guardians baseball. What do you think defines Guardians baseball at this point?
Well, I think that they're undefined right now. because they don't know what they're doing from night to night in their lineup, and it's really hard as a player to establish a rhythm when everything is matchups oriented. To me, I respect Steve and Vogt for saying that. Do I think that the Guardian season is you know, going down the drain or over? They've actually faced they're in the top four or five in Major League Baseball in teams worse than 500 that they face in terms of the lowest amount of games. Now, they could compete with a lot of teams. They could also lose to virtually any team. Hence, they're 0-4, you know, against the Cincinnati Reds. And clearly, Tito's got something on Guardians pitching because all the Reds have done is hit the Guardians. And don't get – I mean, I'm just saying that Tito's having a good time in his dugout doing it as well. But, guys, I got a rant here for a moment. Kyle Manzardo, early on in the season – I thought to myself, this guy is the real deal. He's a top three hitter in this lineup. Guess what? I still believe he's a top three or four hitter for the Guardians when he's in a groove. How can you possibly be in a groove when you have been in the lineup two of the last eight games? How can you possibly be in any groove? I couldn't watch John Kedzie Noel for another week. Angel Martinez, you know, he had a better night last night. He's hit under 200 the last month. There is a gap between AAA and Major League Baseball, more so than there's been. But right now, it feels like this ball club, the definition of the Guardians baseball at the moment is at a crossroads. And they could only win one way, and that is 3-2 or 4-3, Jonathan and Chris. And I'm fired up about this because you can't tell me it's in the best interest for Kyle Manzardo to only have him in the lineup two out of 8 days. He hit lefties early in the season. He should be in that lineup. He's not in it again tonight. I don't find that acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was mashing lefties early on. John, we got to go, but like in the first couple weeks of the season, now last year the splits were different. First couple weeks of the season, he did everything to show you that he can hit the lefty and he should be in the lineup every single day.
It's like you're mixing like what you think helps you win now versus what helps you in the long run. Newsflash, you're not winning the World Series. You know, I just don't think that this roster's cut out for it. I mean, right now they wouldn't be a playoff team. You got to find out what you've got. Giving guys one or two appearances in a week, especially when they've got the subject matter to say that they're good enough to start every day, that's not good. And I don't blame Steven Vogt singularly for that. I think it's a collaborative effort on who's in that clubhouse, who's in that lineup daily. But the Guardians got to look in the mirror here and say, what helps us now and in the future? Manzardo, 2 out of 8 days, nobody's being helped by that.
No question. John, appreciate your time as always. We'll catch up with you next week. And thanks for the plug in the morning show.
Thank you, fellas. So long, Hammer.
See you, John. Appreciate it.
John Manor right there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Right to what he had to say, and in particular, what the NBA Finals and what the Cavs should steal from these two teams. We'll do it next right here in the Fan. I like Jared Allen so much in the regular season. I really do. But in the postseason, it's just different. But it's not like we're the only ones that know that. Any team that would trade for him, they're going to recognize and understand that that's part of the deal as well. Yeah. It makes it incredibly tough to move.
It's just how much are you going to improve the team by trading away Jared? How much better are you going to get with the pieces that come back for him?
Yeah, meanwhile, you can have a real shake-up-the-roster type move if you involve Darius in the mix. And I think it's important. I like how John put that, where it's like it doesn't mean that we're just ripping Darius. This doesn't turn into an I-hate-Darius thread, because Darius may as well be back on the team next year.
Of course.
And this might be what they end up doing. But you got to explore all the options, and you got to make sure you do your due diligence attached to that as well. He also talked about the NBA Finals, and I don't know. At this point, obviously, you're very well invested. You cover the NBA. This is a thing for you. I'm not going to suggest that it's like, oh, this is the time that you get to take off. Like, I see sometimes like NFL beat reporters, you know, they're like, well, my season's done. I don't care what happens in the postseason, which is wild. Yeah. I mean, I don't get that impression from you, mainly because you actually, you know, you like the sport, which
oh,
is
God,
not the same.
I don't
for,
like it. I love it.
Which is not the same for everybody. You know, that like one thing I love about doing this job is that I love sports so much, and I love watching all the sports, and I take it all in. You've been around radio your whole entire life. You've seen the people that sometimes are like, yeah, you know what? I'll just read in the paper the next day what happens. Like, that'll never be me.
No.
One thing I like about you is that you care about these games. You care about the outcomes of these games and then how it moves the Cavs in particular. So what is your big takeaways now two games in? It feels like to me the Thunder now in switching this thing back after game two, I'm not going to say it's done and buried, but it feels as close to done and buried as we can get.
I have two primary takeaways from watching the finals.
Okay.
The first one, this is supposed to be an era of parity. And it has been.
Yeah, seven different NBA finals in 7 years.
I think if there's any team that can challenge that, it's the Thunder.
68 regular season wins, 68, and they basically mowed through the entire stretch of the postseason. I mean, Denver took them to seven games, but let's be honest about it. Like they've ran through this postseason.
And there's room for them to get better. Think about how much better Chet Holmgren's going to be because of going through this. Think about how much better Jalen Williams is going to be because of going through this. Think about all of the draft picks that they have. If they're motivated enough, if they wanted to, nobody could beat their offer for Giannis. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
They could get Giannis if they wanted to. So the Thunder, the way that they're set up for the here and now and everything that they have on their roster to potentially trade and everything that they have in terms of draft capital to either use to sustain or to trade, my goodness, they could challenge the whole there are no dynasties this
time. I know
time.
The problem with that, though, is how many teams in the previous half decade have we sat there and said when they win it, it's like, no, they're going to be the team that starts this dynastic nature.
Who did we say that about?
We said it about Denver. For sure we did. When they were actually winning the title, we're like, this is the start of it. We said it when Giannis won his first title as well. We said it with the Lakers in the bubble. We're like, this is it. This is the start now. Like, I feel like in the past half decade.
Did we say that with the Lakers?
Yeah, that was a real turning that was LeBron and AD, and we're like, this is now, I could see them winning every year for the next 3 or 4 years. Like, but it feels like in the last half decade, how many teams have we looked at and not tried to write this route to? And so I know what you're saying with the Thunder. I get it completely. Mm-hmm. Again, 68 wins. They mowed through all the postseason teams that you can get through. When this is all said and done, they might go down as one of the best postseason runs mixed with regular season runs in NBA history. And they are set up, but just the NBA changes so much and so fast, and the West is so good in particular that I just have a hard time being like, this is the team that's going to do it for the next half decade, and they're just going to be the one that wins a bunch of titles.
Here's another variable that you did not include when it comes to Oklahoma City that makes them different than the Thunder.
The defense?
Well, obviously, the defense, but I'm talking about from a team-building perspective. It makes them different than the Lakers. It makes them different than the Nuggets and some of those other teams that you brought up, even different than Boston.
Mm-hmm.
They had the 25th highest payroll this year in the NBA.
That is wild. And now, is it next year that it kicks in where SGA starts making? What is it, 2 years then?
Next year, they are slated to be right around middle of the pack in terms of payroll.
SGA coming up here shortly because he won league MVP and some of the added kickers that go in is going to make about $1 million a game. It's an insane amount of money. He's going to set the record for how much somebody has made in NBA history. Yeah. Like it's all set there for him. That doesn't preclude them from doing and keeping this thing going.
Right.
But it is an interesting nugget. Like when I first saw that, I'm like $1 million a game. It's kind of eye popping.
Right, but it's just him and Hartenstein that are taking up that money. Jalen Williams not yet. Chet Holmgren not yet. Lou Dort not quite. When you're talking about all of these young players on team-friendly contracts, it's kind of like a quarterback on a rookie contract.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
You take advantage of that. That's your window. Before that quarterback gets too expensive and you start to make cost-cutting moves.
Yeah, in the second apron world that we live in and all this, everything with the cap ramifications, their secret sauce is just that they have a lot of young guys and a lot of people on young rookie salaries or affordable salaries at that. And so then they can just keep this thing wide open. That's a good way to look at it.
It's very different than Boston. It's very different. The Lakers had to make cost-cutting moves.
Yeah.
Denver had to make cost-cutting moves because they had so many. The Cavs are in a situation where they're so top-heavy when it comes to their salaries. The four guys, the core four, are taking up so much of the salary cap space that you're trying to figure out, can we fit Ty Jerome? Can we fit Sam Merrill?
Isn't Ty Jerome going to cost Dan like $80 million or something insane?
When you're talking about luxury tax, if he gets a $14 million a year contract, can we fit Dean Wade? Can we afford Isaac Okoro on the contract that he's on? Those are the questions that these kinds of teams have to ask themselves. Boston, Cleveland, Phoenix, Denver, New York. Oklahoma City doesn't have to ask themselves that question.
I don't think I'm looking forward to Oklahoma
Maybe
City.
If
they're the dynasty, though, I can't say I'm looking forward to it.
Why? They play beautiful basketball.
I know. It's not my favorite thing.
It's team basketball. It's we before me. It's rugged defense in an era where it's supposed to be all about offense.
Listen, I'm going to have to work through it. I'm going to have to work through it, but I can't figure out why. I can't place it, but there's something about, and maybe it's showcasing even in this Pacers series, there's something about like it being an all-time great defensive team and how they go about it that I'm just like, all right. And I'm not even the guy that calls SGA like a foul merchant or anything like
that. Free throw merchant.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not one of those guys that is just like it's just ripping them to rip them or anything. Like I like SGA. I genuinely do like SGA, but maybe I got to blame the NBA. I don't know. Maybe it's what it is. They showcased LeBron for too many years on the Christmas Day games when they should have been putting SGA out there. There's something about this team that I haven't latched onto. And I know so many diehard NBA fans are like, this is the dream team. We've been waiting for this team, but I just can't do it yet, Chris.
Not to get nerdy, but next year, the potential reigning NBA champion Oklahoma City Thunder will have less of a payroll than the headed to nowhere Toronto.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Raptors. Then the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
Then the Los Angeles Lakers. Right around the New Orleans Pelicans. Who's making those decisions in New Orleans? What's their future? What's their direction right now? Like, what a situation to be in for Oklahoma City. You know how Matt Ishbia in Phoenix said, hey, you know, majority of the teams in the NBA.
Is this broke Ishbia? Or is
this is Matt Ishbia of the Phoenix Suns.
Flush with cash Ishbia.
Yes.
Because there's worry right now that he's broke.
He's the one who said, despite the fact that nobody viewed it this way, a majority of the teams would trade situations with us,
mm-hmm.
would trade our roster for theirs. And that's with like Bradley Beal having a no trade clause. You know how many teams would trade their situation for Oklahoma City's? And they're probably going to win the championship.
Every one of them, if you weigh out the financials.
So if there's a dynasty that's going to happen, it's OKC. The other thing that they have shown is that it's not as So it still is a Stars league, and you still need Stars to win. But the real separator might be 7, 8, 9 in your rotation, and how playable 7, 8, 9 are when you get into a playoff environment, and how reliable 7, 8, 9 are. Think about the guys that have stepped up in a big way for OKC.
Yeah.
I mean, their depth has been a big part of this. It's Shea. It's J-Dub. It's Isaiah Hartenstein. But it's also Aaron Wiggins coming off the bench and providing something. It's also Alex Caruso and the impact that he's made off the bench. And you just can't ignore that in today's NBA. Depth is a big, big deal in today's NBA in a way that it wasn't during the Big Three era.
No question. All right, we're going to switch to the Guardians. Stephen Vogt may be guessing, but it isn't his fault. I'll explain what I mean in 5 minutes right here on The Fan. Right now, they're in a bad spot. No one's going to say they're in a good spot. They're in a bad spot. I heard the morning show, and Ken was talking today about how he thinks that Stephen Vogt might just be guessing up there as far as the lineups are concerned. And I just think the tried and true principle when it comes to baseball managers, and it doesn't work this way in every other sport, although you'll find some parallels here. When baseball managers make what appear to be consistently stupid moves, it is typically not their fault. Typically, what it means is that you don't have enough good players. This works a lot when you talk about bullpen usage and you talk about putting in the wrong reliever at the wrong time. Typically, what this comes from is them being strained in one direction or another and them just not having the right guys up there. And there's not a soul in the world right now. As even like, we just had John Fanta on, and he was complaining about Kyle Manzardo not being in the lineup every day.
Rightfully so.
100% fair. 100% fair complaint. No worries about it. But look at what Stephen Vogt has to try to balance out right now. He's playing Santana at first base, and right now Santana is either offering up trade value in a month if they end up becoming sellers, or he's legitimately your everyday first baseman when they make it to the postseason if they continue to go down this road. And then the other option there is David Fry. They have a lot more confidence right now in David Fry returning to the all-star he was last year and returning to the form that he was last year coming off this injury than they do right now Kyle Manzardo, who struggled mightily last year against lefties. So the problem here is, although we all like Manzardo, you see how this really isn't vote guessing. This is more the idea that the front office in certain ways has put him in some pretty awful situations, and he's just trying to maneuver his way through it.
It's not that we, the collective we, all like Manzardo. We recognize his importance to the future of this organization. Mm-hmm. We recognize the kind of fear that he puts in an opposing pitcher with his power bat. Those things have to matter to this organization. They have.
Well, you need pop. I mean, no one's going to debate that. You need some power.
So, like, if he's that important to their future, you live with the growing pains that come with a young player and the struggles that could be. I was listening to the broadcast yesterday, and not a lot of people have paid attention to the Cincinnati Reds, but they've got a young player in Matt McClain who is a big part of their future.
Second baseman, yeah.
He is off to a terrible start. He's batting 182, not playing very well. But you know what Terry Francona did? He said, I'm going to keep him in that lineup. I'm going to keep going to him over and over and over again because he's that important to us and because I think it's going to change. And even through all of his struggles, he's starting to turn the corner.
Yeah.
The way that the Guardians are handling this with Manzardo is not something that instills confidence in a young player. And I just don't think it's fair the way that they're handling
this. Well, so I thought they were fair to Nolan Jones until they weren't, right? Like, Nolan Jones went through a very similar thing that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. He was struggling, and then all of a sudden he started to poke through, and it's like, whoa, Nolan Jones tearing the cover off the ball. Some of that exit velo was starting to work out in his favor. And then he's in the lineup tonight, but he's not played nearly as many games in the previous week and a half either.
Right, but Nolan Jones is not important the way that Manzardo is. Nolan Jones is not a cornerstone of this organization.
I think it preaches more to the idea that they gave him time.
Yeah.
And they let him have every day at-bats. And then he did start to turn the corner. Now, obviously, there's only so many at-bats to go around, and so you have to make some tough decisions there. But you let him have an opportunity to shine. Manzardo has struggled in the previous 3 weeks or so. He's not been the same Manzardo that he was to start off the season.
Young players have to play through it.
But exactly right. The young players have to play through it. And there's not a person listening right now that thinks that Manzardo is a worse option than what they're throwing out there tonight. Like, he needs to be in this lineup. No one's debating that. But Vogt is really up against it here when it comes to the amount of guys. Like, with David Fry, you can't play him anywhere else right now. Coming off that injury, he only DHs. So if you have somebody that only DHs, and then you have Santana, and listen, we can argue about the idea that Santana, you're wasting spots and at-bats to a 39-year-old that's not going to be on the team next year. And I would agree with that. It's part of why I made a case for him a month ago to trade Santana. But you see how there's a logjam right now until David Fry can actually play the field. And with his injury coming back, he can't. What do you do with Manzardo?
Is David Fry really higher on the importance hierarchy of the Cleveland Guardians?
Clearly, they're telling you he is. They're telling you he is. I don't believe that to be true. No, listen, I don't believe it to be true. I think Manzardo's got way more upside down the road. But clearly, they believe that, because what they want is when David Fry can actually go out and play the field, they then want him to, I would imagine, to be an everyday player in the actual field. And so you got to, it's a tug and pull here. And they're trying to do it all, but they're not really doing it very well. There's this balancing wire act that they're having to pull off. They're not really pulling off.
Yeah, there's no way that you can do it all. Based on the roster composition that you have,
right,
you have to make difficult decisions. But this one is not one that I can agree with because of the importance of Manzardo to the future of this organization. Because young players need consistent playing time, consistent at-bats, because they need to play through both their success and their failure.
Right.
And the way that they're doing it with Manzardo is not helping anybody. And it's not a situation where they're putting him on the bench for Aaron Judge.
Right.
Or they're putting him on the bench for Jose Ramirez.
You can maneuver
We're talking David Fry
You can
here.
Maneuver this lineup, though. Really, the guy we should be going after in this lineup is Jonathan Rodriguez.
Well, sure, but they don't play the same position.
No, but think about it. Like, you can, if Rodriguez isn't playing right field, you can put Nolan Jones from center field to right, and then you move Angel back to center field, and all of a sudden you're opening up some spots here. Like you can maneuver this
in
a different way.
You are, but not the right ones. Well, because again, you've got three guys for two spots, basically, with David Fry, Carlos Santana, and Kyle Manzardo. What I'm saying is Manzardo has to be first and foremost on your mind, given his importance to this organization.
I wonder if at some point in this tug and pull, we get to a spot where it just realizes that Santana's got to be moved, but we'll find out. Obviously, if they start playing good baseball again, that's not going to be the conversation, because Santana right now is one of three guys that are actually hitting the ball, you know? So like it's going to be interesting. We'll keep an eye on it. We'll have more on this in the lead. Also, more from what happened with the mandatory portion of mini camp today with the Browns. Audio from there. We'll get into the Cavs as well. Busy 5 o'clock hour. Albert Breer at 5:20. It's Afternoon Drive right here on the Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. Show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer.
Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.